Let's do it on three. 1, 2, 3.
One half a step too late or too early, you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. On this team, we fight for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know that's the difference between winning and losing.
Mean in the Green is right here for you.
That's football.
Go Mean Green.
Welcome to the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, dedicated to students, alumni, and fans that truly bleed green. Follow us on Twitter at GoMeanGreen and visit our website, GoMeanGreen.com.
Love that!
Here we go!
Now, your hosts of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, Evan, Harry, and Ashton.
All right, welcome back to another great season of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. My name is Evan.
This is Harry.
This is Ashton.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. We are about, 21 days away or something? I mean, some crazy number before that first kickoff of the season.
It's right around the corner. You can feel the anticipation, you know.
It's like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks away, basically. Yeah. So it's very exciting. And just with everything new that's going on with North Texas right now, new AD, new head coach, it's hard not to be really excited about, you know, this football season.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of changes, more changes than we have seen in probably the last 15 years. I mean, there's a lot of changes. Opening of Apogee was great. That was a change. New coaches, those were changes. New coach, new athletic director, a lot of things happening.
Yeah, we had the new coach with Mac, and that was a big deal at the time. You know, hindsight's 20/20 on that hire, but I can't remember us having a new AD and a new head football coach at the same exact time. Now, I know some people would like to see the whole triumvirate of football and basketball and AD at the same time, but that's not yet happened. But everything you hear about Latrell is so positive. You know, I got to go to the scrimmage and watch him in action last Saturday. Just really, really enjoy watching this guy coach. And the players seem to be responding. We got to see how it plays out on the field. You know what I mean? Everything up to this point looks really good, but we're going to have to see how things play out on the field, and it could take a while.
So the official count is 16 days. We don't count the seventh day, as Rob told me, because the seventh day is the day of the game. So it's 16 days in a wake up before the game starts. So that's crazy. That's a little over 2 weeks. So we can all talk about the changes, what's news going on up there, all sorts of new people and a new feeling. But Ashton, you've been up there, and you can kind of tell us why you've been up there so much. But you've been up there kind of experiencing it firsthand more than any of us. So tell us what your feelings are and what the hell are you doing up there?
Well, like the thing that jumps out at me immediately with the new staff is the energy. Like they all have a lot of energy. You could hear one coach. You can hear every single coach coaching, no matter where you're out on the field. Like you can hear each coach throughout the whole time. And it's not just a guy just kind of standing around, you know, not doing anything, which, you know, tended to happen sometimes with the old staff. There's a ton of energy. And one thing that I think is immediately kind of jumps out at me at practice is they play music throughout the whole practice now. So there's constantly music going on. So, you know, players are a little bit more loose. They're just, the culture seems totally different, which that's going to happen with the new head coach. And that's kind of, you know, easy to spot. But, you know, I don't really know exactly what it is yet that is different about the staff. There's just, the only thing I can really say is energy. They really do have, they're all kind of jumping around. And
so a lot of people thought that Mac had energy. So what's
the
difference?
And he did, but he had it. I mean, he has more energy than Seth, I think, in terms of like, you know, he's more rah-rah than Seth is for sure. Seth just kind of sits there and watches and studies and then walks in there and starts coaching when he needs to. You know, Mac just kind of hopped around from station to station. And like, you know, he would go over to the defensive line and watch that for a little bit. Then he would go over to, he was kind of everywhere. You know, Seth sticks to his bread and butter. And then the other coaches are kind of doing their thing. But he's kind of in the offense and he's just kind of processing everything. You can see like the wheels are turning all the times. And then he goes in there and he, and you know, and he coaches somebody up on a route or something like that, and tells them what they should be doing, you know, what they're doing wrong or whatever, and then he gets into it, and then his energy comes back out. But then, you know,
let me jump in here and ask. I know that we flew Latrell in on a jet that was a North Texas alum set up. And then we did the same thing with the new AD, Ren Baker. People don't know this, but Ashton actually was riding on the plane with President Smatrisk, Ren Baker, you know, some other prestigious.
Now, clarify, he did sneak on, but he was on the plane.
I was actually flying the damn plane. How about that? No, yeah, and you know, that kind of came about very interestingly. You know, just kind of set the whole table for it. You know, the president actually reached out to me directly and asked me if I wanted to come along and get some behind the scenes footage of this whole process. Kind of like they did with Seth Luttrell, the day one thing, where the athletic department went and got some shots of Seth, like going and picking up Seth, a whole piece they edited together for that. And I shot Seth when he got here. I wasn't on the plane for that or anything, but I was kind of there shooting some behind the scenes for them as well, following around Seth. This one was, hey, come with us, and you know, and the reason that being is because, as it looks right now, is that Beyond the Green is returning for 2016. So that
there it is. There it is.
That I'm not gonna say it's 100% confirmed. Like, you know, there's no signed contracts just yet. But it's looking really, really good. The president is.
Let's
very
put it
much
this way,
board.
Guys. Ashton took me and Evan out to dinner tonight.
To he's McDonald's.
Got, he's got
it was
a nice,
really good
new car that he's driving. I mean, things are really looking up for Ashton right now. No, I'm just.
Well, I think it's a perfect opportunity because when I mean, it's obviously for you, you're close to it. But you know, the situation with the new coach, new athletic director, you've got a quarterback, and we'll talk about him in a second. That seems to come in who's got a lot of skins on the wall. I mean, this could be an interesting year.
Oh,
and there's
yeah.
so many different angles that you'll be able to cover.
I mean, the storylines are. You know, they're not going to end. They're not going to go away. There's constant storylines throughout the whole season. And when I pitched it, when I pitched 2016 back in April to Rick, you know, that was kind of my whole proposal. You know, it was like, hey, you know, here's the deal. There's really no. It would be silly not to do a show, in my opinion, at that point. And that's before we even had a new AD. You know, we didn't even have a new AD. I'm still talking to RV at this point. So I thought that. I had my foot on the gas this time way more than I did to try to get 2015 back up, because I think, as we all knew, after going 4-8, there wasn't as much enthusiasm about maybe the season in general, let alone the television show that the school was going to have to, you know, finance. So I think that there was a little bit easier this time to kind of go and you know, try to sell it on, hey, look at all this new stuff we have, these new shiny new toys we have. And this is before Ren even came into the picture. So
let's talk about the access. You're obviously up there. You've seen a lot. What a lot of people want to hear about is the offense. You mentioned earlier that Seth seems to really be pushing, and he's concerned about the offense. Now, let's start with the quarterback situation. We have discussed it over and over again. We have lacked having a good, solid, impressive quarterback for years. How are we looking this year?
The thing that I see immediately is that Alec Morris – is a true quarterback. And when I say true quarterback, I mean he throws the ball more than 30 yards with little effort.
You're saying he compares favorably with, like, Andrew McNulty?
Yeah, you know, something like that. It's
Harry Myers.
Yeah, Harry Myers, everybody. That's the immediate thing that jumps out at me with Alec, is that it just he kind of fits the bill, and he's not too short. Or too slow, or doesn't have great arm strength, or is just really smart. He seems to have a lot of those intangibles.
What about, like, the intangible, like the leadership? Does he command a presence?
I think he is. I don't see it as much just yet, but then again, I mean, he's still kind of, I mean, there's still, he jokes around a lot. Like, he's very loose out there. You know, not loose in a bad way in terms of, like, oh, he doesn't care. Not like Dejon loose, where it's like, the ball went 80 yards out of bounds. It doesn't matter. You know, Alec is more. You know, there's a drill that they do that Graham Harrell does, where they're basically, Graham will tell them, like, which spot to hit on the one of those little, like a big basket in the back, and that's number four, and then a net up in the front that has like three holes, like a, you know, like a carnivore or something like that. And he's like, he tells him to say, he'll just say one, two, three, or four, which one they have to hit, and they'll be like kind of rolling out, and then he says it last minute, and they have to pick which one. And when Alec misses one of those, he gets really, really upset. That's a little thing that you see, but that's the thing that I really like seeing, because he cares. He really, I think a lot of people thought that he might just come in here, try to get some tape, and then it's like, I got 1 year here, who cares? You know, I thought that's the thing, I saw that on the board a little bit after the spring game. Like, maybe Alec really isn't that invested, blah, 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 blah. You know, he didn't have a great spring game, so it's kind of hard to evaluate that. I think that he's one of the leaders on the team, and I would be really surprised if he wasn't a captain, to be honest.
Well, that's really what we need. We really need somebody that's got that leadership quality coming in here. He has the chance to become, I mean, really, to become one of the top quarterbacks we've had in 20 years.
He,
I mean,
as
really.
A prospect, I'm just going to say this. He is the best quarterback we've ever had as a prospect. Now, he, you know, may not pan out, but in terms of just, you know, his size, his arm, his pedigree, and people say, well, he never played a down or whatever. He played very few downs at Alabama. Let me tell you, when you're working as a – even if you're scout team quarterback against that caliber of a defense, you know, that says something. So I really look at him in very, very high regard. Now, he's a one and done. So obviously when you get greedy as a North Texas fan, you say – I wish we could have a guy like that for 4 or 5 years.
Right, but I would take him for 1 year. But what does that set up for our other quarterbacks that just came in? We've got several quarterbacks that came in. How does that set up to using those guys?
It establishes some kind of pedigree. I mean, let us have a successful quarterback this season in this kind of offense, and it's going to attract people that want to come here. You're not going to get guys that just decide to go to North Texas because – they didn't have offers anywhere else, and they went to the running school, the school that ran the ball all the time, because Mac doesn't like to throw. You know, you're not gonna have to settle for guys like, you know, walk-ons or transfers that just come. Again, you know, I mean, Dejon, you know, he wasn't highly recruited a lot of other places. I mean, DeMarcus transferred here. We were his fourth school. Like, we kind of got, you know, Brock, we were his second school, I think, right? And then we got all these guys that this was like their alternative. You know, and then Derek Thompson came here, you know, and you know, he was successful enough, but we don't have any kind of quarterback pedigree. And I think that hopefully Alex can come in here and just maybe start us off in the right direction with an offense that is going to give him an opportunity to throw the ball.
Right, right.
He's not going to be handing it off a lot, you know. Right.
So I want to hear more about, I know you were, that the president was on the plane.
Yeah.
What is he like? I mean, he seems like he's a nice guy and very outgoing on social media and stuff like that. But give us kind of your kind of reaction to President Smatris.
So when we talked the first time, I've only met him very briefly his first year, and it was a quick handshake and, you know, hey, this guy does a show, and he's like, hi, see ya. You know, it was real quick and simple. This time around, he reached out to me, and when we spoke, and I think I called him Mr. President at one point. I think I called him Dr. Smashtrick at another point, and he stopped me and said, you know, just call me Neil. And he was real laid back. Like, this whole thing happened so quickly. I think he called me to go on that Wednesday. I left on that Friday morning with them. I mean, this was very quick. And, you know, there's a backstory, too, if we want to get into it, on why I even ended up getting that call from the president, which we can get to that. But He's real laid back, and, you know, has a sense of humor, and, you know, talkative, has energy. You know, it was nice to kind of see him excited that day, because you could tell that he really liked the hire that he was making. You know, he really liked Wren, and he was happy with this decision, and, you know, that was kind of refreshing to see.
So on the Wren Baker thing, I mean, we haven't really had a chance to talk a whole lot about that hire, but I don't know about you guys. To me, that was a great hire. I mean, the guy was up for the Missouri. I mean, he's very being considered seriously for a Big 12 AD job.
He's a guy that everywhere he's gone, he's been successful in terms of all the jobs he's had in administration since he left college. You know, he was like the youngest president or the youngest principal in Oklahoma educational history.
He was just 26.
And he was the president of like a high school. I mean, that's a little absurd to me to think that principal. Sorry, That's just like it's a strange stat. It's a strange little fun fact for you, but it's interesting. It shows that, you know, he has ambition and motivation.
Well, he seems to have said the right things. He impressed the right people. I haven't seen a whole lot of negative about him at all. Now, granted, we've been a long time before since we've looked for a athletic director.
It's
some would say too long.
There's some
a long time.
But there's some risk, right? Well, I mean, of course. Anybody, but there's a lot of upside, like a huge amount of upside, and that's. Sure. That's the main.
We've always said we would love to be in a position where everybody is taking our athletic director, taking our head coach. If we're in that position, things are going well. So I think it was a good hire. A lot of people are excited. He seems to have everything in place, and it seems to be definitely worth a shot.
And I mean, he hasn't even officially started. I don't think he starts till the 22nd.
Starts on Monday.
And,
yeah.
But just by virtue of him, his name being associated with the job, I sense that our fan base is. Kind of getting excited.
Has there been any changes at the athletic department? Has he made any moves, or going to be everything's the same?
From what it sounded like is that he was really going to take this the 2 weeks after he got, you know, officially hired, I guess, in terms of before he started, he was going to go finish all his loose ends up in Missouri and kind of leave there without just like walking away, like actually, you know, taking the high road and doing some things. I don't know what the situation was over there. I mean, they had a lot of interns, right? They had like an interim president, an interim president, interim AD, obviously, and I think they had another interim at a high level. And I think that it was so in flux that I assume that our president kind of saw an opening. And I mean, personally, it's a little surprising that he would take this job because of where he was and the opportunity he may have had there to stay at a more prestigious school in a bigger conference, you know? The conference in terms of football. So, you know, I don't know the backstory there, but one of the things he said to the staff and when he met them and a lot of the basically he met with the athletic staff and the head coaches just to kind of say hello and introduce himself and kind of give a quick talk. One of the things he said that he got a lot of calls from other people around the country that said, man, this could be a really, really good job. I mean, you're making a really smart decision here. It can be done there. There's opportunity. It's in a great spot, you know. And really, I guess from the fan base perspective, there's only really one way to go after 1-11. I mean, I don't know we're just talking about football, but athletics in general.
And just real quick, the AD that was in place at Missouri, that was the boss of Wren Baker, was Mack Rhodes. Who Mack Rhodes, you may remember, kind of abruptly left Missouri to take on the Baylor job, which a lot of people were like, wow, that's an interesting move. But yeah, you're right. There was a fair amount of turmoil, but just from what I've read, he was definitely, I mean, he was the interim AD, but he was definitely under consideration. Now, maybe he found out he wasn't going to get it. They've since made a hire and everything else, but I think from a timing perspective, you couldn't ask for better. Add to it, isn't the guy, he's from Oklahoma. So he's got that connection.
Mm-hmm.
He's closer to family, just like Seth Luttrell was. And you look at his resume, he was at Memphis, which is a program that can kind of relate to some of the issues that we've had. And I'm forgetting where else he was. I think he was AD at a small school.
Roger State. He started, but he helped bring that, you know, like the athletic
from
program
the ground
up. So
yeah.
That's a really nice. Again, that's really nice experience. He's kind of seen from the, you know, really from scratch, like what to do from ground zero, you know, up. And just the experience in general, I think that he's going to bring a lot of good stuff from Missouri with him, you know, in terms of what he saw, what he learned. He will hopefully be, you know, hopefully for me, he'll be pretty media savvy. And just in general, you know, I'm kind of excited to work with a guy that really, you know, I could really talk to about the show more. You know, Rick and I didn't really talk about the show that much, really ever. You know, Rick kind of let the athletic department and Capper and I just kind of run with it. And that's great. I mean, I'm not going to fault him for that. But at the same time, it can be more than just a football show. And so from my standpoint, I'm happy to talk to Ren about let's do more. You know, let's bring as much exposure to the program.
You can hear the clicking. So what about he's going to be starting up here pretty soon. So when is his start date official?
August 22nd, Monday.
That's when he starts.
So discussed, It was kind of really too late to do his own staff or change things too much. Let's just hope that he instills some changes. I will say this. The athletic department was pretty diligent about calling me relentlessly to make sure I renewed my tickets. I was caught between whether or not I was going to keep my tickets or move or do club low. I didn't know what I was going to do, so I waited, and they knew I was waiting, and they called me constantly. So I'm hoping that that's a little different. Somebody else in the chat room had the exact same experience, so that's good. And I did get my tickets, and I got them pretty much a day or two after they said we should have gotten them. So I was happy with that. We've got them. Season starts. Now, a lot of changes. We've discussed those, but let's get back to the team. Let's get back to talking football. A lot has been said about buyers moving. Tell me the buyers move, and, you know, the Athletic will spin it how they want on their little video, but was the buyers move more of indicative of what we needed as a wide receiver or what we had at defensive back?
I talked to Kenny about that 2 days ago. I actually asked him in between meetings. I was doing some filming with some behind-the-scenes stuff, just, you know, getting meeting stuff, you know, day of. And Kenny was in the hallway, and we just, you know, we've known each other now for a few years, so we started talking a little bit. And I point blank asked him, I was like, "Hey man, when they came to you, you know, how did this happen?" And I think that, you know, what it really comes down to is that we're pretty deep at DB right now. You know, in terms of if Ashton Preston and Nate Brooks really you know, build off last year as freshmen, you know, sophomores now. If they build off that, then we're kind of set there. We've got some guys that can play in the nickel. You know, we might be in a five back a lot, you know, with this defense anyway. Keyshawn, James Gray, they're fine back there. So really there's depth back there. And one area we don't really have great depth in, I think, is receiver. And with this offense and the inside receivers that we have and how they're pretty important, I think that from what Kenny said, the coach said, "Listen, I think you can really help us on offense." And he's running with the ones. I mean, he's not just like, it's not just a they're not just giving him, "Hey, you know, you're going to change this position and it's a formality." Like, he's going to play. He's going to, I think, get the ball, and he's going to see the ball a lot, because I think in this offense, you know, we haven't seen it too much yet, but that's a fairly important position.
Well, the chat room seems pretty split on whether or not he'll be productive or not. And obviously, I mean, you know, what kind of hands? He was a great you know, he made a lot of plays.
He makes
last
catches
year,
of practice, yeah.
Last year was a little rough, but before that, he was having...
Last year he didn't play. He was out the whole year last year.
The whole year?
He was the whole year.
I guess, he got hurt halfway.
He had a very severe injury.
He had a herniated that's disc and some other stuff going on with his back, but...
The year before, he slipped a little bit.
In 2014, our defense in general wasn't good in 2014. Correct. But, yeah, he didn't have a great 2014. I mean, people started, I think, trying to take advantage of him. And he's not going to burn you in speed. You know, he's not a burner. But I really think that the coaching staff saw that they could use a slot receiver like that. You know, somebody's saying they'll take Khan over Byers. I take Byers. Byers is a gamer. He's a football guy. He's one of those guys he's not going to wow you with tons of crazy measurements, but he's just going to kind of get the job done.
What names are we going to see popping up on the receivers that we could see really exciting?
Tegary.
Tegar is now he's going back.
Tarian.
He's going back to Tarian.
Tarian, man, he had some drops of the spring at the scrimmage, though, and he's having a fine camp. I mean, he's definitely a guy. He's definitely the guy, you know, that we're going to be throwing the ball to. I assume a lot because, I mean, he's starting and he's got the most pure talent of any receiver on our team by far. Oki has had a pretty nice, you know, camp so far. I mean, he looks like...
Okerrion Rutherford.
Yeah, Okerrion Rutherford. He looks like he got a little bit thicker. I mean, he's still pretty thin, but it looks like he got like a little bit thicker, a little bit more meat on his arms. So he's not such a, you know, beanstalk now. And then, Willie Robinson is a guy I really like a lot. He's making some plays in practice.
Walk-on.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to – well, he transferred, didn't he? Transfer.
Is he a scholarship?
I thought he was. Anyway, yeah, I thought he was a transfer from a JC, and I thought he was
well,
a
well, we'll just ask Ashton. Oh, wait.
No, exactly, yeah. No, I don't – you know, I didn't know if he was a walk-on or not. I hear his name a lot at practice, and they like, "Oh, Willie, big Willie." Like, you hear it a lot because he's making catches. And
so the
good.
Transfer to this type of offense – obviously throwing the ball a lot more. How much are we going to see out of the running backs, the backfield? What are we seeing?
You're
going to
see Wilson catching the ball more, I think, out of the backfield. There's a lot of swings. I think
I'm fine with that.
Getting him in open space is great. And I think Willie Ivory is going to really take advantage of that.
Ivory at the scrimmage Saturday blew me away.
He's,
I mean, this guy can take over a game.
He can do that. He's
so athletic.
He's got crazy talent. It's just it's a matter of getting good in the classroom, keeping that streak going, because he has improved a lot. He's not always – it was always kind of, I think, hit or miss with him a lot, you know, and you got to get his mind right in the classroom. And then just, you know, growing up, I mean, he was – you know, kind of immature when he first got here. Very immature, actually. And I think that now you can see him. You know, I saw him coaching somebody the other day. It was great. It was really nice to see Willie telling, Weish, something that he did wrong on a certain route or a block. I think it was a blitz pickup. And that was nice. And then, you know, after Willie picked it up, you know, Seth made a comment. Graham made a comment. Tommy Perry made a comment to him like, hey, good job. You know, those little things like picking up blitzes and knowing when the audibles are being called and stuff like that. You know, when you're in your junior year, that needs to start happening regardless. You need to start kind of growing up a little bit. So I'm excited to see, you know, I think having both of them in the backfield with that formation sometimes, Wilson and Willie, that'd be nice because you got some nice options with some – both have some wheels.
And you gave me a segue. Another player to watch, Evan, is number four, Anthony Weich.
Yeah.
This kid has some moves too. He's a Los Angeles Junior College, I think, transfer.
He's the LA Valley, right?
LA Valley. Yeah. And he –
originally
just
from
like
Philly.
Ivory, just like Ivory, he had some amazing plays. And not just the scrimmage, but the practice that I watched, he is a very talented player. And you're either on special teams – the problem at running back is you got Jeff Wilson. You know what I mean? I can see maybe that he doesn't get to be a lot of – at running back, but to me, he is the next best guy after you look at Ivory and Wilson as far as explosive
and he's playmaker. Built. He's built more, too, like a running back. You know, he's like 5'10", 200, you know, 205. He's not, you know, Jeffrey's tall and pretty lean, and Willie's like a scat back kind of build. You know, Willie's shorter than I am. I mean,
and I love Jeffrey, and he is getting tons of promotion. I mean, he is the MVP of this team, but he has never – God bless him. Stayed healthy.
That's what I was just gonna say, man. Like, if you're Latrell and Graham right now, you've got to be looking at, okay, you know, there's gonna be other guys that have to run the ball because at some point in time Jeffrey could get banged up, or we need to limit his carries because we don't want him to get banged up. You know, so there's not gonna be as many between the tackles running on this offense though, so that might take a little bit of the bumps and bruises that he would just get through a normal game. You know, I remember, like, Iowa, I think he got beat up pretty bad, and that was, I think, his first game because he was injured for the first couple games, right? And then he went to Iowa, and he had a good game, but he was just getting knocked around. And you know, you want to keep a guy healthy that just came off, like, a broken arm at that time. So that was
Let's be honest, our offensive line's probably one of the biggest question marks about this team. I mean, there's not a lot of depth there. You have a couple injuries here or there. I mean, it's looking pretty thin. So we need to keep him healthy, but – it hasn't been good for him the past couple of years.
The offensive line is definitely I don't think it's any secret. I think it's a question mark in terms of just how good are they? Are these guys really going to come around? You know, they're all learning a new system, and really, when you get an offense like this, offensive line could be one of the positions that takes the longest to adapt to. You know, these guys are coming from a totally different system, because as much as we wanted to think that we were going to have an up-tempo offense last season, we didn't do it. You know, even when Canales was head coach, we didn't do it. So
I think Rice is going to be really good at center. His snaps need work, but I mean, as far as I feel comfortable,
he needs to be a leader. Yeah,
he's going to be fine. But after that, there's a lot of question marks and guys with potential, but they're going to have to step up and step up quick. Because I mean, SMU has some talented defensive linemen that they're going to, and you know, they are going to put as many guys in the box and just threaten us to try to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah,
that's just the way everyone's played us. That's our, you know, every team that we've played kind of approaches it that way. I'm hoping that we can prove them wrong, but it's going to be a challenge.
All right, let's talk about defense a little bit. Are we seeing a defense so far that is what we expected? Worse, concerning, better?
I like it so far. I really do. I think that, you know, I really like watching Eckler coach. He's a linebacker. You could tell that the guy played linebacker his whole life. He's just got that build and that mentality. He's real energetic. He's jumping around. He gets real excited. Refit is a little bit more subdued and kind of laid back. And even during the spring game at one point in time, afterward, he told the guys, hey, I might not always be yelling as much as you probably think I should, but, you know, don't think that I'm not figuring out what we're doing wrong and what we're going to have to change in film. You know, that was kind of a cool moment where you heard a guy kind of admit to being a little bit more quiet and reserved and telling the players, like, don't think this is how I'm always going to be. You know, it's going to come out, especially maybe on game day. I think that defensively, you know, I like some of the guys we're bringing in. Wheeler looks pretty good, and I think he'll end up starting. I think that our linebackers are going to be improved. Eckler, I think, is coached 32 or 33, something like that, guys that have gone to the end up going to the NFL linebacker wise, or some crazy number like that in his career.
Being at Georgia will do that to you.
Yeah, and also played for Bill Snyder, and think coached under there as like GA maybe for a little bit. So there's some lineage there for sure, but. He said something really interesting at meetings the other day. And again, when you're at meetings, it's not saying it on camera. He's not trying to like tell the fans some crap that isn't true. He was yelling at the guys, and then he pointed to Fred Scott and Courtney Finney, and he goes, "These two guys right here, you see these two? These two guys are some of the best I've ever seen at getting off their blocks. They get off their blocks better than anybody." And he said, "I've been around the block a few times, and I know what it is." And these guys are really great at doing that. I was kind of surprised because, you know, Fred didn't have a great year last year. I think I was one of the guys who said I thought he was going to have a great year, but we didn't have a great year in general. But, you know, I thought that Finney was a tackling machine until certain times he would just kind of go away. And then Fred this year, I'm going to say it again. I think he's really going to take a step forward. He's not going to be Zach Orr. He's not going to be Derek Okune, but... You know, those are footsteps to follow. But at the same time, he's super, super, super smart, and he really has the Zach Orr, the play before it's going to happen. But maybe the DNA doesn't flow through him like it did through Zach. I don't know, but it's really seeing a guy like Eckler anoint Fred as being that good this early on, and kind of behind the scenes. That was something that I could tell he wasn't BSing. You know, I could tell he was being legit and telling these guys, watch Fred, watch Courtney. And if a guy who's been around for that long and just came from Georgia, you know, a very good school,
it's got to be good for their confidence for him to say that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good – yeah, exactly. And I think that Fred – I actually followed around Fred for like a day in the life of a player during 2 days that'll be in the first episode. And it was just cool to hang out with him all day. We talked a lot. And I think he's in a really good place, like mindset-wise. I think that – and he tells me that, you know, this coaching staff – I've been asking all the players, like, what's different? Do you like it? Do you like it? And everybody's saying they like it. Of course, they're probably trying to be careful with telling the guy who might be turning, might have a camera on. But at the same time, a lot of them are saying they don't really know what it is, why they like it. They just say it's just different, but we like it. Like, this is great, you know. And the coaching staff, it's younger, I think, and that helps a little bit. They can kind of relate more. Maybe they're younger and more spry. I think that, you know, a Brad Davis coaching the offensive line is going to be way different than Coach Cataro. You know,
Mike Simmons.
Yeah, Mike Simmons was pretty vocal, but Davis, man, like I won't be able to show that much footage of Davis, if you know what I mean, during practice, because you know,
just bleep it out.
He's hilarious. The things he says to these guys is just it's awesome, and he's trying to whip them into shape. Like he's really trying to do that, and I think that he knows that he's got, you know, there's some work to be done. I think he knows it, but I think he's kind of welcoming the challenge. And you know, some of the things he was saying during the scrimmage was cool to hear. I think that he was giving them their credit when they needed it, but he's telling them things they were doing wrong a lot.
I have two things to say on the defense, Evan. I think our secondary, I mean, the proof's in the pudding, and I almost hate to say this because it'll jinx it. You know, SMU will throw for a 100-yard touchdown on the first play, but I think our secondary is as good as it's been in a while. I really do. And I think our defensive line is the big question mark, along with linebacker, a close second. But one good thing you may not have heard, we picked up a new defensive lineman that's a defensive tackle that's a transfer from K-State. His name is DeMonte Hood. And everything I've heard about this guy is he's a big guy.
First off the bus kind of guy? But maybe. First off the bus good, or first off the bus just to scare him?
Whether he can play or not remains to be seen, but I know this, he can definitely take up some space, which in that nose tackle in the 3-3-5, you know what I mean? That nose
He's
tackle
big.
Position, is that's a good thing to have.
Well, that's
so
good to hear.
He was when we were at breakfast the other morning, and I was kind of hanging around Fred, you'll see a little bit of what he eats the Monterey for his omelet because he was very, very particular about his omelet, and it was huge. It was, I mean, this omelet was like the size of my torso. It was massive.
Big boy breakfast.
Speaking of, a lot has been made of the transfers because, you know, a position and Luttrell, we had to take some chances on some late qualifiers, some potential non-qualifiers. So a lot of chances were taken, and some didn't work out. What are the ones that did, and what are the biggest hits out of that?
Well, William Johnson is the big linebacker that we were all real excited about, and he was basically the best guy that we recruited. You know, he was the best guy in the whole class, and he didn't make his grades, doggone it. So that's the one that stands out to me. I mean, there were others. There's actually a defensive end right now, Ravion Hostin, that
grades.
Luttrell was like, this guy's, you know, we're moving forward or whatever. He kind of made basically said move on. But, you know, on Twitter, you know, Ravion keeps saying, I'm going to fight this and stuff like that. So I don't know if that's just wishful thinking or if there's still maybe a transcript or something that he could, you know what I mean? But we definitely lost some. It did not come as a huge surprise, but it still hurts because, you know, every guy that can come that's a transfer could help this team, you know, could help us against SMU. And but when you're doing that, you're taking chances, and that's just a chance you got to take. Unfortunately, Matt left us in a situation where we had to do that. That was our only option.
Yeah. The cupboard is definitely a little bare. And you know, and Seth said when he came in, he's like, I'll get rid of guys that I need to get rid of. You know, and we've already seen some guys leave, and, you know, maybe they just were told, hey, you're not going to play, you know, and they're, I don't know. I mean, you will never really know why, but he's kind of cleaning house and getting people in here that he wants to be in here. And, you know, if Ravion can't play, that sucks. But at the same time, like, the fact that he even came here is just one of those other good signs. Like, maybe our recruiting is going to get better, and we go out there and win some games this year, maybe compete, maybe, you know, win 4 or 5. Which I think we could do. I think if we lost more than four, if we won 4, I would be happy. But I also think
I would be ecstatic.
I think we can win 4 games.
Have you looked at that schedule?
I know. It's a different team though. It really is, and I think that we're going to see a lot of different faces and just it's a different style.
I just want to see us be competitive. I don't want to see us get blown out by anyone with the exception of probably Florida. I think that's a game, you know, that's
– Oh, we're winning Florida. Just kidding.
What? Yeah, well –
How do you go with those negative waves, Harry?
I just – you know, like there's –
being realistic.
There's a chance.
No,
like, what if we went 2-0? Like, what if we actually went 2-0? Which isn't – is not impossible.
Cancel the rest of the season. Just take that home.
I would run away with that and say, fine, I'm 2-10. Happy about it. Like, that's fine.
Well, I mean, let's talk about SMU game first. Let's just talk about the schedule a little bit. SMU, compared to last year's team, are they better, same, worse?
I think every year that Chad Morse is there, they're getting better. I mean, the same quarterback that ran all over us is back, plus a couple of higher recruited quarterbacks that they've added. Are they going to be perfect in game one? I mean, I feel like that's a great game to get them. You know what I mean? Because they could make some mistakes. Turnovers could play a part. I mean, it's came out as a 12.5 spread, you know, favoring SMU. And I see it now, it's going down to like 8 or 9. So it's not like even with the spread that this game's completely out of hand. And we're playing them at home, you know. Mac always said, we got to win at home. We got to play well at home.
It's an evening game. I don't know if you've seen the weather forecast 15 days out. It's not going to be 90. It's not going to be 90 for the rest of the month of August.
I hope you're right about that.
September is going to be brutal, though. Watch.
Yeah, it probably will be. But it always seems like, I mean, so let's just hope that it holds out. It'd be great.
It's not going to be at 11 or whatever time last time that home game.
Yeah.
That was like a radiation experiment.
I don't know what was that. Well, and the students just sitting in the sun.
I know.
It was cruel.
If we can have a game at 6 o'clock.
No, I'm saying SMU the last time they were at Apogee.
Yeah, it was.
When we beat Idaho, I mean, the heat worked in our advantage because Idaho was gassed.
Right. Yeah, by the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they were gassed.
But, I mean, you've been out there this week. Weather's been great.
Yeah.
And it's going to be that way.
The first day of practice, when practice opened, you know, a week – what, 13 or 15, no, sorry, like 10 days ago?
Yeah.
It was real bad, like hot. It was miserable. Right. And then this week has been great. The scrimmage was like you know, perfect.
Right.
It looked crappy outside, but it was great.
And Green Lantern in the chat room, and we appreciate all these chat room comments, by the way. Thank you, guys. He said, we could have beaten them last year, and that was the worst team I've seen us field since 1997. And there's some truth to that, a little sarcasm.
We had
but
chances.
We held them defensively for three quarters, so it was just the offense couldn't get anything going.
Weird. Our offense couldn't get anything going. That's really strange, actually.
Mr. Sarcasm.
That's really odd.
So I've got a follow-up question, Evan, if I may, on Beyond the Green. Obviously, Beyond the Green has been a topic on this podcast and on the Go Mean Green site, and, I mean, it's been an ongoing thing. There was a huge void when it left. It sounds like things may be working, moving in the right direction there. Can you kind of just give us a quick update on the status of Beyond the Green, the show?
Yeah, so it right now, it's, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's looking really good. I would be really surprised if it doesn't at this point, but some things do have to get finalized. I have confirmed with Fox Sports Southwest that it will be back on that channel, so they've given the time slot back. It's probably going to be on Thursdays again. It could be on Friday, but I think it's going to be Thursday. There could be one week where we actually have to be on Friday, and they'll let me know about that, and I'll definitely let everybody know well in advance. But and I believe our time slot in year two was 4:30, and the first year was 4. I think we're going back to 4:30. The cool thing is that Fox really wanted the show back, and that was kind of really nice to hear. They've actually, like, no UTSA show, no Texas State show, no TCU show, no Conference USA show. So they're actually doing away with original programming. Or that style of programming, but they wanted this one back, and they actually wanted it back last year, but, you know, again, nothing happened. The athletic department decided not to raise the money or not to fund it.
Because the thing is, this show is more like an ESPN 30 on 30. You know what I mean? It's not that same stale coaches show type format.
Yeah, exactly. And so they really like it. You know, I think the accolades it received in year one really helped that. You know, it always has that kind of tag to it, and Fox Sports Southwest is very aware of that. They give us pretty good advertising inventory back. You know, it's a great deal, and they want to have the show, and they're already asking if it's going to happen next year so we can kind of get that signed. So that's really good to know that Fox is kind of always going to be in the corner of it coming back because they like the product.
Well,
so,
I think it helps with the recruiting. It helps with visibility.
Helps with
if you can
yeah.
have a great year, I mean, everybody's looking at the players can have that as, you know, record of their shows, showing the recruits, look at all this stuff from
and
last
maybe
year.
I'm being optimistic, but I'm saying I'm not a North Texas fan. I'm just some guy channel surfing, and I see this show about a team that is sort of the underdog, that has a new coach, that has a new athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
That
endless stories, man.
I mean, yeah. To me, that's like the greatest.
Yeah, Marty said it right here. It's a great window for UNT football. It is.
It really
your,
is.
It's your
and,
view
it,
in.
And the whole point of the show is to humanize the game. I mean, it's to humanize the players, humanize the game, humanize the coaches, let everybody see what they don't see on television when they're watching the games. Like, that's the whole point. I want everybody to see who Laramie Lee was and go to Zach Orr's home and go back when it's bye week. Like, little things like that aren't always football related. It's like a backdrop. But the thing that I love about the show, and these kinds of shows, I should say, is that it doesn't always have to be just football. And that's what I really like about it, and that's what I really hope. And I've talked to Ren a little bit about it, that basically that first day. He was kind of asking, like, who the hell are you with the camera? You know, and the president had to kind of tell him what was up. He was asking me some questions about how we did it before and blah, blah, blah. And he seemed like he really wanted to be a part of it, I mean, my door is open. You know, if he wants to be a part of it and be on there a lot, hell, I mean, I'll take it because I mean, I want to hear from the new AD, right? And this might be the only way for us to really hear from him on a regular.
And I don't remember RV
kind of base.
Being on there that much.
He was on there. I don't think I interviewed him but one time for season two because we weren't winning. So,
well,
but
we had him on quite often. You should have come to us.
We playing on my damn phone.
Grandkids so, yeah. on the phone.
But I do want to say one thing about the show coming back. One of the reasons why the show is coming back and how it really got brought to the president was Dylan Lovelace, the Lovelace family. I met with him. We had a great meeting. He asked me a lot of questions about it, asked me what kind of help he could provide. And I just said, I need to get this to the right people at the school to see it. And, you know, RV had just been shown the door. So I didn't really have I mean, it was really like I had to go to the president, and I figured, okay, well, here's how to go to the president. And so really, I think the Keeney family and the Lovelace family really brought it to Neil and said, hey, man, this you really need to think about doing this again. Mm-hmm. And Neil has given them credit. I mean, he said that they were the ones that brought it to him. And I have to give a lot of credit to those guys, because if it weren't for them, you know, they're really championing the show right now, and I'm very, very, very grateful for
and
that.
And beyond that, they're championing UNT. I mean, that yeah. family's given lot right. to North Texas.
There's no doubt.
We all should be grateful to their generosity, because it helps us in so many ways. But that's great. That's so nice that they're being supportive of, you know, a great show.
Well, you know, and like we said earlier, and everybody's in the chat room kind of saying the same thing a lot, you know, it's like it's great. It's a no-brainer. If the show was terrible, it would still be good for the program.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't matter if the show is really great or bad or whatever, and, you know, or if my color correcting is up to par with some people, you know, stuff like that. If I do the right shots and get that kind
was
of
my
stuff,
next question. You beat yeah. me to it. Are yeah. the color
am I going
issues?
To have, am I going to be able to make it? No. And like, it doesn't matter. It's as long as you open a window, you open a door, a recruit sees it. Tommy Perry has said before that people, when he's on the road, have asked him about it, you know, stuff like that. Recruits had said something. You know, it's good. It's nice to, it's nice no that doubt. Other people know about it and see it. And, you know, again, it's just something that it's really fun to do. And I like storytelling and, you know.
Well, that's great.
Congratulations. That's
yeah.
great. I know you've been working really hard for this, and I'm really happy. Just as a fan, it's like another, it's like dessert, you know. You,
oh yeah, it's like midweek little snack before the between meals, you know. It's
yeah,
great.
Awesome. Ideally, I would like it to be a little bit. Go ahead.
You're not just seeing Zach Whitfield as a number out there and seeing his number and seeing he's a player. You're learning about his family. You're buying into knowing him and having a relationship with the players that are down there. Every week you learn somebody new. By the end of the season, you feel like you know this team, and some of them will move on, some of them will be around for the next year, and it builds a great fan participation kind of feel. Fans buy into it, especially with a program that doesn't get the coverage that a lot of other schools would get. So that's your way to do it. All right, we've got about 10 minutes left on the podcast here. I think, Harry, we want to
yeah, we've got to yeah. call into Brett.
We're
going
to call into Brett Vito with the Denton Record Chronicle. Our recruiting guru couldn't be on with us tonight. He was evidently hacked by Russians. But
doping?
Yeah, something like that. So we're going to go ahead and pause it. For those of you listening, you will not hear. For those of you listening on the podcast on iTunes, you won't hear a break. For those of you listening live, just deal with it for a second. Bathroom break. All right, joining us on the telephone is the North Texas beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
So, Brett, a lot of changes in the athletic department this year, a lot of new coach, new athletic director. I know you've been a lot of practices. I've been enjoying your evening updates. So tell us, what's the overall feel you're getting? What are your impressions of the changes that have happened up there?
Well, I think among the guys that are still around, I think there's a lot of renewed enthusiasm for what's going on in North Texas. I mean, they have a lot of great people there that were in place for a long, long time. And, you know, I just think you've got some younger guys in here that have got some new ideas, bring some different perspective, maybe some fresh blood in there. And I think a lot of the players are pretty excited about those kinds of changes.
What about practices? I mean, you've been out there at practices, obviously a little cooler this week. Have you noticed a different style, the way the players are practicing, attitudes for the players?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every coach is different. You know, in the Darryl, Mickey days, and then, you know, and then again under Dan McCartney, a lot of the offense that they ran was based on, you know, running the ball with power and, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage and doing those kinds of things. Not to say that Seth Luttrell won't try to do the similar kinds of things with running the ball, but I mean, let's face it, the guy's is more of a passing offense guru. So, you know, you see a lot more of that, like you did in the Dodger, where, you know, they're out there throwing the ball and skeleton and throwing the ball and team drills and, you know, just really airing it out quite a bit, trying to fine tune that aspect of the game that they hadn't really emphasized a lot in the past.
Yeah, Brett, it's Ashton. Hey, one of the things that I noticed is that it just seems like there's just a lot more motion happening on offense. Did you see that as well? Like, just it just seemed like there was just more going on. It was you know, the previous offense was much more vanilla, and this just has a lot of moving parts to it.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to do a lot of different things. It's a different philosophy. It's a different, you know, concept kind of deal. I mean, you know, when in the power running offenses that North Texas has ran in the past, I mean, that's kind of what their bread and butter was. And you saw a lot of inside drill and a lot of, you know, blocking technique and that kind of thing. With this system that they're going to, there's a lot more motion and bells and whistles and different personnel groups and different things that you're doing and trying to make adjustments to take advantage of what a defense will give you and those kinds of things. And to dictate to a defense too a little bit about what you're doing. So I think there's a lot more to it that goes on out there.
So Brett, where's as far as the quarterback race right now, obviously you've got Alec Morris at number one. What about the number two? I mean, do you have any thoughts on kind of where that's going to play out?
I think it's going to play out exactly like I said it was going to back when this whole thing went down over the summer. I think that the obvious thing when you look at it, I think that Fine has got a lot of talent. I mean, he was a terrific player in Oklahoma, but he's a smaller guy and he came from a small school. And the reason they brought in Devin O'Hara, I mean, if you just look at it, is the fact that I don't think they want to burn Fine's red shirt right off the bat. And maybe they're not thinking he'll be totally ready when he's a sophomore. I thought they brought Devin O'Hara in as an insurance policy and likely to be the backup quarterback for this team. And that's the way I see it playing out. I think, you know, Morris, a lot of North Texas fans had doubts about him coming in, you know, just because he sat at the bench. But I stick by my guns, man. He was recruited by Alabama, for God's sake. And, you know, he's come in and he has just easily won that job. And I think if it was all to come down today, I think you'd see Devin O'Hare as the number two, probably on the same line as Fine. And then you just hope that, you know, Alec makes it through the year, or makes it to the point where, you know, he's healthy most of the way. Or if you have to plug in somebody for a series or two or for a game, maybe you turn to O'Hare and you hope that you can redshirt Fine. Because Latrell said right off the bat, you know, you don't want to play a freshman quarterback. So I think that's the pecking order you're looking at there.
So yeah. Right before we were getting ready to prep for the show and stuff, there's a, you know, news flash that we signed a former professional baseball player. I mean, what can you give us an update on, a little more detail on that one?
Yeah, I don't know a whole heck of a lot on that deal. I mean, I was just told, hey, look, we've got a guy that's been cleared, you know, and I was nice enough to get a heads up on it. And it's this guy who was a tremendous baseball player at Rockball out there. I haven't had a chance to, we're right in the middle of putting out our football magazine, and that's such a huge undertaking. You know, it's 108 pages this year, so I haven't really had a chance to go dig, but I did get the tip tonight. I looked up, you know, what his minor league stats were and where he went to school and, you know, that kind of thing. But I guess he played football in high school too. I mean, he's, you know, done with his baseball career, played like 3 years in the minors and hit like 10 and decided to not play anymore. And so
we don't know anything about what he did.
He was a receiver in high school.
He was a receiver, yeah. So maybe that's the whole situation.
I'm
going to have to dig through my old Dave Campbell's to find out what he –
Well, if he signed Major League Baseball, was he like an infielder or what? Do we know what position he played?
Outfield.
What?
Outfield?
I thought he played in outfield. Center field in high school.
He's a pretty good athlete. I mean –
Yeah.
Hey, that's why he's still playing baseball, right?
No, you know what I'm saying. I mean, we could use him somewhere.
Well, that's what I was just wondering. But I mean, it's an interesting little element there, tidbit there that you put out there. So when you talk about other players that are surprising you practice, obviously, whenever you put your updates out in the evening, you're always having to discuss the quarterback situation because that's what most people are dying for. And let's be honest, we haven't had one around here in a while. But what about the other positions? Who's really surprising you? Who's standing out? Who are you anxious to see on that first game against SMU?
You know, the guy, and I don't know if Ashton would agree with me or not, but I think the guy who's had a terrific camp has been Nate Brooks at cornerback. He's looked terrific out there the whole time. And I think if Kieran Rutherford's played real well, you know, he looks like he's going to be a major contributor. The junior college running back, Anthony Weiss from California, he looks like he's really going to help. There's some guys that are really standing out there. And there's, you know, other areas where you look out there and have a bit of concern. I mean, Latrell mentioned the other day that North Texas offensive line is starting to come together and had its best day the other day. But, you know, I wonder about the depth of that position. I mean, the backup offensive line, to me, just doesn't look that good. I think you need to keep Sam Rice healthy, and you need to keep the rest of those guys healthy, because that's the one area where I just don't think they have a whole lot behind that first group of guys.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's pretty easy to agree on the offensive line for sure. I mean, you lose Jordan Murray or you lose Sam Rice, and we're really grabbing at straws at two pretty important positions. Especially, I mean, I haven't really looked at the center position too much out there, but with these kind of offenses, that center position is pretty valuable. Like, it's not just hand the ball off and try to double team a guy or block the nearest guy. It's, you know, there's a lot of audibles, there's a lot of looking around, there's a lot of, you know, play calling. You know, he's going to have to do a lot and be pretty athletic, especially on some of these swings that we see a lot. So, yeah, I think that Sam is you know, just like last year going into the season, I thought he was one of the guys that we really needed to lean on and just kind of came up short.
Well, the thing that scares me about that whole deal is, I mean, Sam is – he's a guard by trade. He's played guard forever. And he – I mean, I don't know what you thought, but, I mean, just looking out there, he has really struggled with the snap at times.
Yeah, it's not been good.
He has bounced on of them or send. The other day I thought it was kind of – it wasn't funny, but, you know, it made me smile a little bit. You know, he snapped it. I'm pretty sure that Anthony Tucker caught it and tossed it to Morris standing next to him before the play started.
That's awful.
I'm like, that's not the way that's supposed to look, but, you
maybe
know,
it's a trick play.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But Sam's a great guy, and he's a good football player.
He's athletic, yeah.
Yeah, you're asking a lot of that guy. He's a career guard. All of a sudden, you say, "Hey, Sam, you know, you probably haven't played center since God knows when."
Well, he
we're
was
going to scooch you over there, and we're going to run a shotgun offense. You can call make all the calls with the line and snap, but you haven't done it forever.
When he had to sit out during his transfer year, when he had to sit out during his transfer year, he was playing center on scout team a lot. So
yeah, I remember
he's
that.
Not, yeah, he's not like totally unfamiliar with it, but yeah, I mean, game situation is totally different. And you know, I was kind of joking with him the other day because he's a really easy guy to talk to, and he's always looking to joke around and, you know, BS with you. And he I made fun of one of the snaps, and he just kind of looked and rolled his eyes, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, I just shaved my head, so it's kind of I got to get my head right because he's got no hair up top now, and he had long locks, and it was just kind of funny, you know." He's taking it all in stride, but I think that, you know, I mean, he needs to get up for SMU especially because, you know, he's got a lot of history with that, and it's you know, he's going to play an important. But he's very, very integral role in this offense now. I think at that center position, and it's kind of like an underrated spot.
Well, I mean, think about it. You know, he's the only guy they got back. You know, he's the one reliable, proven guy that they've got. He was really good at his spot, and now all of a sudden you're kicking him over to somewhere he hasn't played in a long time. I mean, that just throws another wrench into the works. You know, puts an extra – you're taking a guy who was really good where he was at, and you're moving him to another spot. Now, I know Sam Rice can block anywhere he's at, but is he going to be as effective at center as he was at guard when he's having to do all the extra things that are involved with being a center? I mean, I'm – pretty sure he will, but you know, you're just asking more of that one guy.
So, Brett, obviously we're coming up here. We've got like 2 weeks before the first game. I know you've got the big football issue coming out. Tell us when that comes out. I know a lot of people like to get a copy of that. Oh, Brett, sorry. I had turned down the send. So I know you've got a copy. The big football issue comes out that you're always working on, and I know a lot of people really like that during the summer. So tell us, when does that come out and how they can get a copy?
Well, it's coming out on the 25th. We have another week to go here. We actually printed the cover of it today. It takes a couple of different press runs to put a publication that big together. So now I'm working on the guts of it now, and that'll be in the paper. It's the Thursday before first Friday night of football in high school, and then Saturday for North Texas. So we have like 25 pages of North Texas stuff, and then 108 total this year. So, you know, if you're going to go spring for a quarter, you know, it kind of kills me inside to walk by the newsstand and look at it. And I said, man, I just spent 3 months on that thing. We're selling it for a quarter. But you know, it's kind of the day it is.
Yeah, but the advertisers pay more than a quarter.
Yeah, well, that's where you make the money on the deal. But it's kind of a funny deal. We'll look at it and think, wow, we just spent 3 months on that thing. We're selling for a quarter.
Oh, man, it's great. It's really good. And it takes a while to digest it all. It's perfect for
quenching that. You got to get a couple of days of good cramming before the first game. So it's a great way to cram before that first game. Well, Brett, we appreciate you jumping on with us. You can always check out Brett with the Denton Record Chronicle. The links are all, you just look at the Go Mean Green website forums and you'll see the links to the updates and the articles. And we appreciate you jumping on with us.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
All right, so I just want to say, every year we talk about doing a road trip. I bought my tickets for the Army game.
I'm going to the Army game.
You are? Well, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, so, yeah, Southwest.
But we do,
for those
though.
Of you out there that are looking at doing it, I got a deal.
206, how much was it?
My wife and I are both going, and for both of us, round trip was $370.
Maybe we can do a segment on Beyond the Green about the GoMeanGreen.com podcast road trip.
That's right. I think I'll wear my GoMeanGreen shirt.
Right there.
I think we need to. We need to bring back the GoMeanGreen.com shirt for the game.
We've had a couple iterations of that, but I always love that. I mean, those were, of course, we took them. They were in the rain in Miami.
Yeah. And then, that was a miserable rainy game. Yeah, that'll be a great game. I've always wanted to go to Army, and I'm glad that the planets are aligning this year for that. What else we got here? Is we cover everything? We've gone an hour and 1 minute.
Football starts soon.
SMU, baby.
Yes, it does. I'm excited. It's
2-0.
It's a good time. Snot bubbles, big eyes. I'm ready.
I am.
Place at the table.
So, all right. With that, thanks for joining us in the chat room. For those of you listening on iTunes, thanks for listening in. We'll talk to you next week. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green. Go Mean Green.